Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
From this story today, the feeding of the 4,000, we're going to look at three aspects of Jesus' compassion. The first one is Jesus does care. The second one is Jesus is sufficient. And the last one is Jesus has distributors. I'm going to get to that in the end. Takeaway today. No, Jesus' compassion to you and through you. Know Jesus' compassion to you and through you. To get this in your mind, I got a little 2-year-old grandson, curly hair, red cheeks, and he comes up to me and he holds his arms up to me. I can't resist. My back is killing me. This kid weighs a ton, but I still got to pick him up and hold him because of my compassion. I mean, he just brings out the compassion in you when you do that. Think of that as Jesus' compassion. We can hold our hands up to him, and he just reaches down like a grandpa, like a dad, and he has compassion on us. So we need to know Jesus' compassion to you, to me, but also Jesus' compassion through you, through us. Okay? That's the thing to remember today. So out of this story, Jesus' compassion. As we read, in those days, a large crowd came, and Jesus said, I have compassion for these people. So we have a desperate situation here. It's desperate because there was a large crowd and nothing to eat. And earlier, Jesus had been in this area when he healed the man with the demons, the legion of demons, and he sent them into the pigs and they ran down the hillside. This is the same area he's back in, and maybe that's why a large crowd came. Matthew also tells us that at this point in time, he's also healing all kind, the lame, the mute, the deaf, the dumb. He's healing everybody. All these things come together to make a large crowd. So the desperation comes from a large crowd, and the desperation comes from the fact that they are in a desolate area. This is a map of Galilee. If you remember, I talked one time about the beheading of John the Baptist. Remember that? The purple parts are King Herod's realm. King Herod of the Bible, that's where he was in charge, and that's mostly Jewish people. But in between the two purple sections there, there's Decapolis, the green. And you notice it just gets up and touches the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus was at. But Decapolis was not Jewish. It was Gentile. A different set of people than he had been talking to or ministering to. Jesus most of the time was in the purple part called Galilee. But now he is over in the Jewish section. So we see from this Jesus' compassion. I have compassion for these people. Jesus does care. Jesus does care. We're in a desperate situation because of the large crowd. We're in a desperate situation because of the location. This was out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe the deserts of the Southwest here or someplace like that. There's just not food to eat. And it caused a desperate situation. And because of this, the people were weak and they were hungry. But in the midst of this situation, there's the divine motive. Jesus moved by compassion for their physical and spiritual needs. You know, compassion is a characteristic of God. We hear that he's omniscient, he's all-powerful, He's also compassionate. That is a characteristic of God that we need to keep in our minds and remember. Jesus is compassionate. One of the things this story teaches us that His compassion is not based on the status or character of the people. These were Gentile, these were ungodly, non-churched, rough and tough crowd, had their own gods and their own religious services. These weren't like the goody-goody kind of Christian Jewish people that kind of knew the Old Testament. No. But Jesus still had compassion on them. They were the wrong crowd, but Jesus still had compassion on them. Sometimes we need to have compassion on the wrong crowd. He had compassion on them. So Jesus does care, but his compassion is not dependent on our situation or character. I kind of think of the current day like inner city missions. If you go into some of the areas where inner city mission is functioning, sometimes the crowd that's there is, they don't look as good as you do today. They just don't look quite right. They're not, but that's exactly the way these people were, and Jesus was showing compassion on them. Jesus does care, and his compassion is not based on who we are or what we do. He has compassion on all of us. Sometimes we have a need. We have an issue. We have something. Jesus has compassion on us. He looks down on us in compassion, not based that we're good enough or we've done enough. He is just a compassionate God. Jesus is a compassionate person, and he fills our needs. And he ultimately showed that he cared by his death on the cross. That was the ultimate final showing that Jesus does care. There's nothing we did, nothing we deserved. He just looks down on us. He looks down on mankind, but he also looks down on each of you individually and says, I care. I have compassion. Remember that. Sometimes life gets rough and we forget that. Work goes bad, kids go crazy, finances go down the drain, but God still has compassion on us. So another thing this story shows us is Jesus is sufficient. What good would it be to have compassion if I can't do anything about it? Oh yes, I have compassion on you, but can't do anything. Jesus is not that way. He is sufficient. He has compassion, and he's sufficient to do, to carry out whatever he wants to do. Now, he doesn't always do miraculous things, but he always is compassionate. And he always is sufficient to do whatever he wants to accomplish in our lives. Remember that. He always cares, and he always is sufficient. Now, sometimes we say, hey, God, if you were really sufficient, you would do X, Y, Z. That's what I think needs to be done. It's not always the case. It's God, but he is always sufficient to do and to accomplish what he wants. He is sufficient to act out his compassion. He's never short of the ability to care for us. And this story is a good example of that. You ever wonder what it actually looked like? I got 7 loaves that are probably like a bun, you know, like a dinner roll, 7 rolls. And I got 4,000 men, probably 8,000 total, just, you know, if you add women and children. And he said, here, disciples, take these. What did it look like? The wording in here, I think, gives us a little hint. In the word gave is past tense, but with kind of a continuous action. It's a different tense in Greek than what we could ever show in English. So this is what I picture. Might be all wrong. Basket with 7 loads, and he keeps handing to the disciples, but they just keep coming. That's the way and I don't know how it actually happened, but from the word here, he kept on giving and giving and giving. So, kids, you could imagine that. God just kept, there was only 7 in here to start with, but they just kept coming, and he kept handing him out. This story shows us that Jesus is sufficient. He was able to feed all of these people, and he just kept handing out the loaves. And this story shows us that the people ate and were satisfied. They ate and were satisfied. What a simple statement. What a big job. 8,000 people, these 12 disciples got to feed, and in the end, They ate and were satisfied. Sometimes we need to take the simple things of life and eat and be satisfied. And not only did he feed the people, but there were 7 baskets extra. The basket is, somebody said, it's think of a clothes hamper. 7 of those, full of bread. That's more than he started with. And there were 7 carried over. Jesus is sufficient, and he's sufficient to do even more than what we think is possible. There's a book called Evidence Not Seen by Darlene Rose. She was a missionary in Indonesia. World War II breaks out, and if you know anything about World War II, the Japanese invaded China, Korea, Indonesia. They were pretty ruthless. You know, we hear about the Nazis and concentration camps. The Japanese weren't much nicer to people. This lady was a missionary in Indonesia, and she got captured. And she's spending time in just a brutal camp, malaria, starvation. But one day, she looks out her little window, and over where the guards are, she sees a bunch of bananas. And she's just like, a banana. Wouldn't that be so wonderful? And in the book, she prayed, Lord, there's no one here who could get a banana to me. There's no way for you to do it. Please, don't think that I'm not thankful for the rice porridge, but it's just that, well, those bananas look so delicious. A Japanese officer shows up that knows her, and she's his enemy. He hates her, and nobody knows why, but somehow God had him bring her some bananas. Not one, though. She counted them, 92 bananas. God is sufficient to do more than what we ask for. 92 bananas to that poor lady in the jail. She wept, realizing that he gave her far more than she requested. Remember that when we're dealing with God and God's dealing with us in his compassion. He is totally sufficient, and he can even do far more than what we need or what we ask. So God cares. Jesus cares. Jesus is sufficient. But now I want to jump to the part about the disciples. Jesus has distributors. The disciples were Jesus' distribution system. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. And they did so, and they had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and told the disciples to distribute them. Jesus has distributors. Why didn't the bread jump out of the basket and go out to 8,000 people all on its own? Jesus could have done it. Why did he bother with these 12 guys? By the way, that means they each had to serve 600 plus people. Why did he do that? Well, you know what? Jesus does the same thing today. He distributes his compassion through us. So not only we should be looking for God's compassion because he cares and he is sufficient, like little Isaac holding up his hands to me, but we also need to be distributing his compassion to others. Jesus has distributors, and that's what the disciples did. Jesus showed his disciples his plan. He said, I have compassion. Well, the disciples are a little bit like us. The disciples showed their weakness when Jesus asked them, when they said, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? The disciples' thinking was stuck in the physical, the tangible, only what they could see. They were even doubting after 6 months before he had fed 5,000. This is only 4. This should be a piece of cake. And they say, where are we going to get food for these people? Now, don't get too hard on disciples, because that's kind of us sometimes. Jesus, how in the world could you ever take care of this situation? But you would think they would say that this would be easy, but the disciples failed to grasp Jesus' compassion and his sufficiency to meet the needs. And you know what? It's Jesus' practice with the disciples. He sent them out in groups of two. He was always involving them in his ministry, reaching out to people. They were participants in his ministry. So they distributed this bread and fish to these people, and it was a lot of work and effort. You know, if you're a disciple of Jesus today, you are a distributor. It says here that he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. Remember, these people were not so good people, not the religious people, not people with a background, but yet we are the distributors. You know, Amazon, how many of you order anything from Amazon? How many of you don't? Okay, there's a few. Amazon is known as the greatest distribution company in the whole world. You can purchase something and it'll be at your door in a day or two. They have that big warehouse over in Elkhart, if you go down the toll road, that's full of items just waiting for you to order them, and they'll get them there. The Amazon drivers show up at that warehouse and get loaded, and then their trucks make all these local deliveries. You know what? Jesus is even better than Amazon. He has a big warehouse full of goods that he wants us to take hold of and distribute to those around us. People in need. It doesn't have to be tangible. Anything that you can distribute to somebody, tangible, intangible, spiritual, we ought to be ready, and his warehouse is full of stuff, to be ready to show his compassion to people. He needs us as his followers to be distributors of his compassion. Each of us here today are Jesus's distributors. Think of us as Amazon employees. We need to be out there distributing the compassion of Jesus. And it's not always easy. You know, this winter was rough. We have a driveway that runs this way to our garage. Somehow the Amazon driver was halfway up it, turned sideways in our driveway, the lawn at each end of it. I don't know what he was doing. But it's not always easy to deliver the goods. Sometimes it's hard. Some of them would park out at the road and walk clear to our house. Sometimes when we're the distributors, it's not easy. It's hard. It's inconvenient. It costs us something. It's tough. But we still need to be Jesus's distributors. All believers or Christians should serve and distribute God's compassion in various ways. How about a simple smile? You're going by somebody in the store, or you're crossing in the doorway at Meijer or Target or what, and just smile at them. How many of us could do that? It's a way to distribute God's love and compassion. Saying hello, just simple acts of kindness, a hug, a note, a phone call, a text. Sometimes Jesus' compassion is delivered in small packages. Be aware of those small packages. Then also be aware when Jesus asks you to deliver a big package, like feed 4,000. Sometimes there's a big thing that comes up, and we need to still be the distributor of Jesus' compassion. I'm not very good at compassion. Shut up and put up. No, I'm not very good. Here's an illustration that puts me to shame. Last summer, my grandson and I went to a Cubs game. Got on the train, went to Chicago. If you ever done this, you get off down below ground. You have to take these tunnels, go up the steps, and you finally see the sunshine. Well, we were downtown Chicago, and we were going to pick up the Red Line to go out to the Cubs Wrigley Field, but we had some time to kill, and we planned to get pizza. What we didn't realize is it was 11 o'clock, so you know you could eat pizza at 11, but it's only 10 o'clock in Chicago, so no pizza places are open yet. So we walk through the downtown and see the sights, and some of what we saw were people sleeping in the doorways. We saw people just sitting there with a container begging and stuff.
And it was a good experience for my grandson. Well, eventually, 11 o'clock came around, we went to Pizzeria Uno. And when we went in there, I told my grandson, I'm going to try to order the smallest pizza possible because we can't take it to Wrigley Field with us. So I thought I ordered a reasonable pizza, but we got this Chicago-style stuff. See how thick that pizza is? One slice and you're done. We had all this pizza left over, and I said, well, we'll just leave it on the table, and I'm sure they'll have to throw it away. My grandson says, Grandpa, what about those beggars we passed? How stupid of me. Anyway, so as we left this restaurant and went to find our train, sure enough, there was a beggar. And then my grandson, who's a giver, not only that, he takes his own water bottle and hands it to the guy too. Compassion. Showing Jesus' compassion through us. We need to be doing that in little ways and big ways. Let's be distributors of Jesus' compassion. Even just the little things of saying please, thank you, hi, hello, a note, a phone call, everything. And for you that aren't compassionate, try to be more compassionate and aware of ways you can show Jesus' compassion. Be a distributor of Jesus' compassion in every way. So remember, Jesus' compassion to us and Jesus' compassion through us. That's what I think we can learn from the story of the feeding of the 4,000. Let me close with another story. All you late, like, kids and teenagers, you get a bad rap. You know, teenagers today? Ugh. Anyway, let me read the story. Leaving a store, I returned to my car only to find I'd locked my keys and cell phone inside. A teenager riding his bike saw me kick the tire and say a few choice words. What's wrong? The teenager asked, and I explained my situation. But even if I could call my wife, I said, she can't bring her car keys since it's our only car. He handed me his cell phone and said, call your wife and tell her I'm coming to get her key. That's 7 miles round trip. Don't worry about it, the boy said. An hour later, he returned with my keys. I offered him some money, but he refused, saying, let's just say I needed the exercise. Then, like a cowboy in the movies, he rode off into the sunset. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.